Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Frank LeBeouf, Craig Burley, Julianne, Laurent Sidlow and Steve Nicol all with me on today's show. Today, of course, saw two more matches in the return of the Bundesliga. The early match finishing 2-2. Köln were 2-0 up. Mainz are getting two late goals to get the equaliser. Meanwhile, for Bayern Munich, a 2-0 victory over Union Berlin is where we start as we welcome in Craig Burley and Frank LeBeouf to the show. Craig, this wasn't quite as swashbuckling as Borussia Dortmund's victory yesterday, but of course, just as efficient.
No, let's talk about, you know, how long the players will need in training. I see Steve Bruce has touched on that today with the Premier League, saying the players are not going to be ready before the end of June, which I think is a stretch. But I think Dortmund showed that you can sort of pick up where you left off. And yeah, they'll be lacking a little bit in match sharpness. But the way they played yesterday was fantastic. Bayern, it was more difficult because Union Berlin sat in and tried to make it tight and sat deep. And, you know, for that reason, we hardly saw Robert Lewandowski in the first half. Yes, he scored the penalty, but we hardly saw him in an open play because it was so congested. But I mean, again, we saw the pace of Alphonso Davies down that left-hand side and, you know, what a player he's going to be over the next decade or so. But it was a little bit of a struggle for Bayern, but I anticipate for most of the clubs it's going to be that way for two or three games.
And today, I suppose, was just about getting the 3 points, Frank.
Yeah, exactly. As Craig mentioned, you know, some players are still struggling, you know, to find back their fitnesses, and especially in Bayern, some players were in different shape. I don't agree with Craig. I think Alphonso Davies needs to train more and to play more to get back to where he left a couple of months ago, and to bring the talent that he has. But some players were ready. Thomas Müller, Benjamin Pavard, Thiago Alcantara in the midfield bring what Bayern needed to win, and as you said, to get the 3 points, because after the win of Dortmund yesterday, it was crucial for them to go back to the Bundesliga with the 3 points and keep the head of that Bundesliga.
I'm not suggesting, Frank, that Alphonso Davies had his best game ever, which he didn't, and clearly he's lacking match sharpness. But I'm just, you know, from someone who was as slow as me on the field, and you can testify to that, I just marvel, because we know he's a talented player, but I marvel at his pace and his speed, which is, you know, such a commodity in the modern game.
Davies, not Davis. There you go. That's it. You can't shout at me. I'm just here.
Don't start.
Meanwhile, Lewandowski, of course, wasn't supposed to be playing in this game, but because of the two-month break, he was back, fit, scoring the penalty. 40 goals already this season, Craig.
Yeah, and if Germany are able to finish the season, and there's no suggestion that they can't from what seems at the moment like a successful weekend, then, you know, we could be looking at 50. You know, it's quite incredible. He is, you know, he's the best striker on the planet. If we're just talking about an out-and-out number nine, he is the best front man, natural front man on the planet at the moment. And that's a hell of a commodity to have. He had a quietish game, but you can just tell there was one time in the second half when a Jerome Boateng ball went straight up to him and he tried a little flick over the top, one touch, to almost 1-2 for himself, and it almost came off. And you can just tell this guy, he's got the quality, he's got the confidence, he's fit again after the break, which was a bit of a bonus for him. And he's not going to stop scoring goals soon. This guy is not going away in the next 18 to 24 months.
How highly do you rate him, Frank?
As high as Craig just did. I think he's a fantastic striker and maybe the best striker in the world. When I recorded this action that Craig was referring to, you can see a little bit of finesse of Van Basten, for example. Some very special striker that you can't even catch because they don't play with their bodies. They play with the skills, with the intelligence, with everything that you make sure is going to be destroying the opponent. So I'm really keen of those kind of striker. Don't forget that he's going to maybe beat a record, the record of Gerd Müller, scoring more than 40 goals, something like that, a season. That's incredible. In a modern time, that's really incredible. And he's an incredible player.
He looks set to break that Bundesliga record, of course, at the moment, 40 goals in all competitions. Craig, you say penalties. How would you fancy the technique that he used today? I'd have just fallen over.
Yeah, it takes... I unfortunately saw someone else do that on a regular basis, and one of the times was in the 1994 FA Cup final, and it was Eric Cantona, who just... And as you know, Eric did not lack any confidence or arrogance, but he didn't lack any quality, and he knew it. And so he would almost walk up to the ball and wait for the goalkeeper to make the move. And it takes super confidence to be able to do that. Having taken a lot of penalties during my career for the different clubs that I played for, I generally went for a bit more pace and a bit more of a direct run-up, because, as I say, you can look really foolish if it doesn't come off. But yeah, he's got the confidence to go ahead and do that.
Frank, you've taken penalties as well. Would you fancy that technique?
Not from my point of view, because I was, as Craig, you know, picking a side, you know, trying to go very fast on the ball and trying to get the ball on the grass. But I see Hazard, I see Neymar, and they really built a technique like Lewandowski this afternoon, where you wait for the last moment. You have to be, as Craig said, very confident, but also very technical, because that's very precise. You have to be ready to change and move your ankle the last second, or block your ankle for the open side. So it's very difficult. And I always said, in my point of view, you shouldn't play with a goal. It seems to be a very easy way to score a goal, so don't waste it. Don't play it. Just
Dan, go. I used to try and get... My theory was, get that bloody ball past the goalkeeper as quickly as possible, because the slower you hit the ball, the more chance the goalkeeper has to react. And we've seen it before with people that have tried the Panenkas and all that kind of stuff, and the keeper doesn't move. And so I always think, if you can hit a good pacey penalty with a good bit of quality... in the right area of at the right height, it can be very difficult for even the best of goalkeepers to make a save.
Meanwhile, Craig, obviously, as everything is planned, in theory, we're going to have this three-week Champions League spectacular with all those games played over 21 days. Bayern Munich, given that they have started ahead of everybody else, does that give them a head start?
Well, I would say so. And, of course, everything's still up in the air at the moment. But we saw... really, since Hansi Flick took over and has been given a long contract, and rightly so, we have seen the resurgence of some of these, you know, more veteran players, shall we say, within the Bayern Munich side, and also the emergence of some younger guys as well. So on top of that, we've talked about Lewandowski already. Then they're actually, you know, since they went to Chelsea and really destroyed Chelsea and Stamford Bridge, which, you know, it's not... Chelsea are not as far down the line as they want to be, of course, but it still was a marker that they put down. And you have to say, at the moment, with the way some of the other teams were playing before the lockdown started, Bayern Munich are in as prime a position as any. I mean, I suppose at the back, we saw today Jerome Boateng, okay, you know, he's still a bit rusty, but still taking a few swipes at the ball in dangerous areas. But in terms of everything else in the team, they're in pretty good shape.
Meanwhile, Frank, Erling Haaland on the front pages of most sports newspapers, not only in Germany, but around the world, after opening the scoring, of course, yesterday in Dortmund's 4-0 win. The youngster just gets better and better and better. How high is his ceiling, do you think, Frank?
I don't know. We don't know. I still think that he can improve his game, and that he has something to show to the world. Much better than that he does, but what he does right now is absolutely fantastic. With full of confidence, the technique is a heavy body that he can run so fast with that high and heavy body. So he's a talent. He's a pure talent. He seems to be very confident, so he's going to go far. If he keeps his feet on the ground, he's going to go even further. But he seems to be a very, very professional player who knows how to do things already. He was in good shape already yesterday, making the good runs, feeling the good way to score a goal. Well, he's going to make some central defenders suffer. I'm so pleased that I gave up my career a long time ago.
It's fun to watch, isn't it, Craig?
Yeah, it's just great to see youngsters playing with such confidence. You know, I've said this before, you know, most of the young guys that I saw and played with and played against never had that confidence at such a young age, or that composure. You know, that's something that most, and I say most teenagers have to work on that. They have to work on that movement, that composure, that understanding. It seems that he has all this already in his locker, and his advisors, be it his dad or whoever, and himself, have made some great decisions. It was interesting what Jan Agafyotov said on Friday, our colleague, was that it wasn't only Man United that were interested in him, but a while back Juventus as well. And they've managed to make so far some very good decisions in where they've placed him. And we're seeing that he's seeing the fruits of that, the rewards of that. And his goal was fantastic. His movement, as we know, is great. And, you know, Dortmund were on fire. I mean, Guerrero's two goals as well looked as if it was a pre-season friendly and not Borussia Dortmund trying to track down Bayern Munich. But, yeah, he's a heck of a teenager. I mean, what most kids would give to have a talent and a physical presence like that.
Yeah, Dan, I think he's already ready to play in any big European championship. Yeah. He already plays in Bundesliga. But I think he's ready to play either in England or Spain or Italy or even in France, because he has already all the tools that you need to play in the big European championship. He has the technique, he has the stamina, he has the character, he already has the maturity of for it. I mean, he's already ready. That's what is amazing about, because some players, you know, they're young, they need to settle down, they rather stay in their own championship. He's already outside his country, but already ready, already mature, and already fantastic.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Just a reminder, ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. More German action, of course, for us to look back at.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Haaland also getting a lot of praise in Spain as well. Front page of both AS and Marca. Marca going with silent hero as we welcome Sid Lowe to the show. Sid, even this was normal circumstances, a youngster performing at this sort of level would still very much grab the attention of Spain, because they're going to be inevitably linked to a move to Barcelona or Real Madrid.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It is entirely inevitable. So of course, as you rightly say, we have the focus on Haaland yesterday, because the whole of the country, well, I say the whole of the country, everyone who's a football fan in Spain was desperate to see some football. So there was a real kind of profile for the Bundesliga yesterday, but in particular with Haaland. You're right, even if Spain was playing, there would be focus on him. And with inevitability, you take, for example, AS, and the front two pages are dedicated to that game. But then the third page is dedicated specifically to him. And it describes yesterday's performance, which you and me would have thought was just a normal German game, was actually apparently the audition for a job at Real Madrid.
Exactly, because no one had ever heard of him before yesterday. So it's Real Madrid that he's going to go to, Sid. That's done and dusted.
Yeah, absolutely. All done. I mean, you know, these transfer rumours, particularly at this stage with everything that's going on, are so meaningful at the moment. And you know, one good performance and suddenly he's in line. Now, look, of course, there's been a lot of excitement about him anyway, but that will be magnified now over the next few weeks as we watch German football and we don't watch Spanish football. And I think there is a sense that although he's gone to Dortmund and clearly has a career path mapped out, that he's young enough that he's the kind of player that could still turn up at Real Madrid. Maybe not necessarily this summer, maybe not the summer after, but at some point. Which, of course, gloriously means we can have these kind of headlines and these kind of stories all for the best part of 2 or 3 years.
And, of course, inevitably, I have to ask you, which one would he more likely be going to?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, I suppose stylistically you would say he may well be a player that suits Real Madrid more than Barcelona. It may well be the kind of signing that suits Real Madrid more than Barcelona. But look, genuinely, I have no idea. And we just don't know what kind of impact, obviously, this whole coronavirus crisis is going to have, what kind of mindset these clubs are going to have in terms of the transfer targets and so on. And given that Barcelona will almost certainly sign Lautaro Martinez this summer, then, of course, you would think, wouldn't you, that the big number nine signing is done for them for a good few years.
So you would think. Meanwhile, of course, Spain on track to return to action in mid-June, Sid, and it's going to be back with a bang. Literally games every single day seems to be the plan, and some of them very late indeed because of the summer temperatures.
Yeah, I mean, so for example, we're expecting tonight La Liga to announce that clubs will be able to go back to a 10-man training tomorrow. So in other words, obviously that's a step up in this process. They want to start the league if they possibly can on the 12th of June, and they're starting to feel more and more optimistic that that's possible, although the players union would like a little bit more of preparation time. And then, as you say, they've suggested that they will play every single game throughout this period. And although they haven't actually talked about kickoff times explicitly yet, of course we all know this, because we know that once you get into May, and obviously we're going to be well beyond May by the time we start, once you get into May in a normal season, La Liga is already pushing games back. When you play games at the start of the season in August, games are kicking off at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night sometimes. And, you know, it's worth stressing this. It is genuinely very, very hot indeed in Seville in the summer, for example, down in Andalusia. And so I think it's only logical to assume that we will see a lot of games kick off very late indeed.
Of course, reticent about getting football back. Did what we see this weekend in Germany help persuade people maybe who are against it, do you think?
It's very difficult to tell. I mean, I feel like everybody enjoyed the fact that football was back. I feel like everybody feels like this is a step in the right direction. And also, of course, you know, and obviously Spain is not the only country doing this. I'm sure that England is thinking the same. People are watching Germany now to think, well, we'll kind of, you know, we'll send the Germans out there and we'll watch them, and we're come in behind them 2 or 3 weeks behind and see if the steps that they're making are working, whether that means that we can keep going. And I think it has won some people over. Of course, look, there's been the discussion here about how strange it felt, how for some people this isn't really football without fans. It doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel right. But I think most people in Spain, even those football fans who are vociferously against it, probably recognise now that it will come back. It will come back without fans. And no, that's not right. It's not perfect. It doesn't feel good, but it's better than there being no football. And so I think this will make Javier Tebas, the president of the league, who is bullish anyway, even more bullish. And you know, Germany has been watched very, very closely from Spain at all levels, at fan level, but also at institutional level.
Great stuff, Sid. Thank you very much. I hope Claire enjoys her shower, by the way. Just a reminder how La Liga looked before we went into the break. Barcelona top of the table by 2 points. For more reaction to what we saw from the opening weekend in the Bundesliga, Julien Laurent and Stevie Nicol with me. Jules, you look at it and a lot of people are sceptical about the return. And this is people in Germany saying that they wouldn't watch. Well, the statistics have shown that it was watched in record numbers.
Yes, it was. I guess maybe it was too hard to resist, even if you didn't really like the new product, the new football, which is a football without fans and all the conditions that we've explained all week before we actually started again this weekend. Maybe it was too hard to resist and everybody wanted to see what it was like, and to just to see some live football, proper live football. And I think, of course, it was never going to be the level that we had before, especially with our fans. And after 2 months without playing, and of course it will get better. I just don't think you can be too choosy right now. And I think this was better than nothing, in my opinion. It was still better than a lot of what I expected before the weekend, even if physically and technically and even tactically there's a lot of things to improve. But at least football was back. And I think just that in itself makes it a great weekend for me.
Stevie, it was interesting. I was watching your hit yesterday on YouTube and you were talking about the fact that it was a bit weird to start with, but once the match kicked off, you were very much into it.
Yeah, because I like watching football. Like, you know, anybody who said they weren't going to watch it, they were kidding themselves and everybody else on. If you're a football fan, you can't walk past a park with kids playing on it without actually stopping and watching it. So, I'm not surprised at all that there were people watching it on the TV, because apart from anything else, there's nothing else to do anyway. So I enjoyed it, I must admit, and I certainly enjoyed watching Borussia. I'd been talking earlier about how it's harder to be a forward player. You know, it's harder to link play going forward because it has to be more accurate. It's a lot harder than it is to defend. But I tell you what, Borussia Dortmund, right out the gate, they didn't waste any time. They were fantastic from the first to the last. Good combination play, scoring goals, making chances. So I thought Borussia were fantastic and easily the best looking side in the Bundesliga this weekend.
Yeah, that was it, wasn't it, Jules? It was the perfect start. Borussia Dortmund setting the bar high, and I think it's fair, as Stevie said, they looked like the team who hadn't been on a break less than any of them.
Yes, that's right. And I also wonder how much the game that they already had behind closed doors against PSG in the Champions League, even if that was 2 months ago, played a part in this. Because clearly, I thought from the beginning, unlike the Schalke players who looked a bit lost on the pitch, not really exactly knowing what to do, the Borussia Dortmund players, even with the change tactically just before they started with Joe Reyna, now started the game, and Hazard coming in, they knew exactly what they were doing. Maybe the whole environment, because it was not new to them, maybe it was not as disturbing as it was for the Schalke player or the other teams and other players that we saw through the weekend in the Bundesliga. And maybe that's why they were so much quicker to get into the game. And we saw then after that, the talent, like Stevie said, talked, and Julian Brandt was fantastic, and Haaland scored again, and all of that. But maybe the fact that they knew that kind of environment before, even if it was just one game, that could be a big difference when you get to this kind of context and everything around you if you're a player.
Somehow you get PSG into this.
Always.
Right, I'm going to talk to you about Werder Bremen against Bayer Leverkusen, the one remaining match that, of course, taking place on the Monday in Germany. Just give us a quick preview looking ahead to that, Jules.
Well, the game, Werder Bremen, especially second from bottom, who are fighting against relegation. And like we've been saying, it's probably easier to defend than to attack. But the problem for teams, and we saw that with Union Berlin against Bayern Munich as well, who are quite physical, who don't really play the sort of pass and move style of football. For them, because fitness-wise, they don't have the ability anymore to do that because they haven't played for so long and have hardly really trained properly. I think it's harder for them to develop the usual game. I think for Bayer Leverkusen, this is a game that they should win, even if it's away from home, because their style of football is probably more suited to coming back to playing after 2 months than it would be for Werder Bremen.
Great stuff, guys. Thank you very much. By the way, go over to YouTube. My guests on Extra Time today, Julien Laurent and Stevie Nichol.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Napa Know How.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping on over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $50 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
Now, for a lot more about what we learnt in the Bundesliga over the last 48 hours on its return, really good stuff from Stefan Ertzfeld and Tom Hamilton over on the website. Be sure to check out their article. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for joining us. If you want more, let's face it, who wouldn't want more Stevie Nichol? Stay tuned for Extra Time. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you, as always, for your tweets. Stevie Nichol and Julien Laurent with us. Jules, the first question is for you. And it said, did you really watch the Bundesliga or did you just enjoy yourself with PSG highlight videos?
Both. I mean, there's enough time in a weekend for both, you know, the biggest Ligue 1 games of PSG in the season against Amiens, for example. Great 4-4 draw if you fancy watching it. And then Bundesliga. Even Bundesliga 2, I watched Karlsruhe against Darmstadt on Saturday lunchtime.
Oh my goodness, Jules, that is impressive. The next question is also for you, Jules. How's the Bundesliga defending been, of course, after you were pretty negative about the return of German football?
I mean, look, come on. I mean, they're not very good at defending when they're fully fit and when they've got fans in the stadium. So behind closed doors, after not playing for 2.5 months or something like that, it was actually better than I thought it would be defending-wise. It's more because I think attacking-wise, there's still a lot of rhythm to come back into the players and everything. So defensively, actually, I was not too disappointed this weekend.
Which is harder, Stevie, to get back into the defensive or attacking groove?
I would think attacking, definitely. Listen, attacking's the toughest job. That's why your centre forwards and your front men get paid more money than everybody else, because it's the toughest job. It's basically easier to defend, or it should be, if you do it properly. So, yeah, I would think getting 3, 4, and 5 players in the same rhythm from sitting on the backside for 2 months is going to be difficult to get back straight away.
Stevie, given ESPN Plus will broadcast Bundesliga games next season, which ESPN expert is the best and worst at pronouncing German club and player names?
Well, I don't think we've got a best, let's be honest. And the worst is just toss a coin. My pronunciation, actually, when I put my mind to it, is actually very good.
Well, why don't you put your mind to it more?
Well, I don't want to overtax myself. Come on.
That's it.
Particularly
that's
in these times.
Jules, your pronunciation is pretty strong, isn't it, for German football?
I try. Marcotti pretends that he can speak every language in the world, so he thinks that his German is amazing. So he always comes up with, you know, the accent and everything. So I need to keep up. I try to keep up. And I at least for name of clubs, you know, like Bochum, for example.
Oh, Bayern. That's a tough one.
Oh, Bayern, yeah. Players sometimes a bit harder on some of them.
Yeah.
I just like saying Borussia Mönchengladbach. You can just go around all day saying that. That's great fun. I don't even know if you're saying it right. How good will William Saliba be for Arsenal next season, Jules? Is he in the mould of Varane?
Well, I believe he is in the mould of Varane. They've got a lot of similarities, actually, together. Not just the youth and how they burst onto the scenes in France with their respective clubs. Lens, obviously, for Varane around, 10 years ago or so, and then Saint-Etienne with Saliba now. I think there's certainly a path that Saliba would want to follow. I think it was the right thing to do for him and for Arsenal as well to leave him another year in France on loan at Saint-Etienne, for him then to come back this summer to England and to Arsenal. And I think having gained a lot of maturity from his season in Ligue 1, especially with the injury he had to come back and work really hard to come back to his level. So I think that will help him a lot. And also because this year was very much a transition year for Arsenal. Not that he knew that last summer, but he became a transition year with Arteta. So I think he would be very good for Arsenal coming into the summer, even if he's still very young. I think he would be a very good signing.
You mentioned Arsenal. Jules gets all excited. Goes on a big monologue.
No! You asked me about players, a player who plays there. I don't have the choice.
I know, but you love a bit of Arsenal, Jules. Right. Since we can actually hear the players on the pitch, Stevie, during these Bundesliga matches, who was the most vocal player on the pitch that you played with or coached?
Oh, Dalglish. Never shut up.
Oh, really?
Aye. Oh, never shut up. It didn't matter who had the ball or where they were on the field, you would hear him because he wanted it. And if he didn't get it, he wanted to know why he didn't get it. So he was talking constantly, but mostly because he wanted the ball.
As a coach as well?
Not particularly. You know, I had a couple of the older guys that would talk when it was necessary,
yeah.
But we really didn't have anybody who just would go around and just become constantly yattering away, give me it, go, stay, you know, come back, you know, just, we didn't really have any of them in our team.
Jules, it follows up by asking you to name a player you could hear talking while covering a game pitch side.
Well, that's a good one. I mean, it's not my answer to the question, but this weekend, when if you watch the Borussia Dortmund Schalke game, for example, and if you speak French, you could have heard Todibo insulting Erling Haaland's mother very clearly just before a corner. So. No. You know, not everybody can speak French or understand swearing in French, but if you do, then
is that why he elbowed them, Jules?
I'm not sure if Haaland understood everything that Todibo told him during that game, and especially that, or maybe someone like Guerrero or someone else at Dortmund who speaks French translated it to him. But maybe the two are linked. But from when I was pitch side, hearing. On the back of my head like that, I can't really remember. But I remember a few players who were always trying, and I'm sure Stevie had the example, where you play against and they would actually be against you in the team, but they would still talk to you like if they were a teammate. You couldn't see, for example, they would ask you to leave the ball if the ball was coming up to try to influence you like that and for you to, although they're not in your team, but trying to mess up a bit with you by talking almost like if they were a teammate, but they were actually in the other team.
No, that's like schoolboy stuff, isn't it?
Of course it is.
And then,
that's
you leave it, you take it away. Stevie, that doesn't happen in real life, does it?
No. No.
There you go.
You've either got to be a schoolboy or stupid to fall for that kind of nonsense.
Or Jules, apparently.
Or Jules, yeah, there you go. You've got three choices.
This is from Steve Nichols' golfing pushcart. Stevie, you had an accident. You fell down a hole. Did you? Are you okay? Oh.
I'll tell you what. It's a good job it was me and not one of the other older geezers that play there. I mean, I was walking down right. the hill, coming off the Foss Green, and halfway down the hill, there was just a huge pothole. And, of course, I'm pushing my cart, and so I can't see it. And I'm talking away. So I'm talking to Ali on my left, and Craig's down the bottom, and he's buggy. He had the sulk on because he had a double bogey or something. And then the next minute, I just hit the deck. Clubs went flying everywhere. My face was in the dirt. Alejandro was on his back, kicking his legs in the air, laughing his head off. The other guy we were playing with, Joe, such a nice guy, was all concerned if I was okay. And then Craig couldn't care less.
No, that sounds about right. Right. So Steve Nichols' golfing pushcart asked Stevie, who would win a Champions League final, 2011 Barca or 2019 Liverpool?
Ooh, tell you what.
Oh, come on, it's not difficult.
So why don't you go ahead and answer the question? Because clearly you're going to go, Barcelona are the only winner.
Oh, yeah, well, that's really sticking my neck out, isn't it? 2011 Barcelona, well, most people would say was the greatest Champions League final performance we've ever seen. Liverpool beat Spurs, rubbish game.
Oh, that one game. Well, you never said one game. You never said, you said between that Barcelona side and a Liverpool side today. It's not a straightforward answer.
Yeah.
Barcelona then, you want the answer or no? We're head and shoulders above anybody else in Europe. And right now, guess who's head and shoulders above anybody else in Europe? Liverpool.
They're out of Europe. Atletico Madrid beat them. How
they
did
lost
they be
a
head
game.
And shoulders above
Shut
everyone
up.
In Europe?
They lost a game. Here we go.
Oh no, facts.
Here we go.
Oh dear. Jules?
Oh, that's I don't know. I mean, I guess that Barca team at that time was so unplayable at times, but so was the Liverpool of 2019 with Klopp and Salah and that front three and everything. I would go for a 3-2 win Barca, but a really, really tight game.
Yesterday, Shaka called Stevie the least smart person at ESPN FC. Stevie, what are your thoughts on this?
What?
Have you seen his hair recently?
What's his hair got to do with it?
I tell you what, that's a smart move. Keep your hair like that. Isn't it? How smart must you be?
Ah, Stevie, shots fired from Mr. Hislop.
I'm disappointed because he's taking the easy way out. Because he knows I couldn't care less. He knows it'll just come go right off my back. Water off a dog's back.
Who's smarter, Jules, you or Gab?
Oh, come on. Come on, Gab, he pretends. That's what he does. He pretends like he can speak all the language in the world. He pretends that he knows every player, every manager, every tactic and this and that. But actually, if you look carefully and if you listen carefully, he says the same thing all the time. That's me, no doubt.
There we go then. Good, that's a topic for your podcast tomorrow. Thank you very much then. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. Be sure to send in your tweets. Thank you very much for your questions.